just like everything else I preach, it seems like God gives me something for myself first. I think that's the best kind of sermon, rather than telling all the poor lost souls that you need to shape up, that the Lord usually tells the preacher to shape up first. You get so blessed by it. I think I'll share this with somebody. So there's some things you can share. There's some things that are too holy and sacred to share. But I feel like God wants me to share this with you this morning. I did want to ask everybody to get through Christmas okay. You know, growing up in an alcoholic family, I didn't really look forward to holidays at the time. So I trust that you didn't have any of that. We survived this year. I remember one holiday when we have a sister who hates Jesus, and my dad, being drunk all the time, everybody kind of looked down on him like he's a low life of the family. And we were going to pray at the table for the holiday, and my sister started cussing, saying, "You're not going to pray to Jesus Christ around me." And my dad, who was half drunk and cussed like a sailor, he started crying. I never saw this in my life. And he said, "You mean we can't even pray to the family? Wow. What's going on with this family?" You ever had any screwed up holidays? Thank you, Jesus, that we had a good Christmas this time around. Doesn't look like anybody raised their hand. Nobody has anything bad to report, so that was the grace of God this time. I thank you, Father, for the holidays, how it reminds everybody around us about Christmas. I know most of the story do not want to say Merry Christmas, but what a blessing it is to go around and say it anyway. And Lord, I just pray that today, if there's any chains on any of us, especially me, Lord, that you'll let those chains fall off today, in Jesus' name. And we really appreciated that song, you know. I feel like it was for real. We're on the street here now. We had Linda last week.
Yes.
Was that last week?
Yes.
Last week.
Yes. Man, she sang out right from her heart. All I want is to live for Jesus, or something like that, my whole life. All I want. And I was just thinking while you were singing that there are so many places in Scripture that says, if you'll cry out to me from your heart, and a broken and contrite spirit, we will not despise. You just cry out, "Lord, help me."
Right.
He is going to listen.
That's right.
And none of these little mumbly, mumbo-jumbo prayers. You know, "Dear Lord, bless all the missionaries in each leaf on each tree." And, you know. But it sounds like you're crying out to God. I really appreciate that. I know God hears us.
That's right.
There's a few things I know in the world. One of it is when we get serious and cry out to God, "Help me!" And that's what it sounded like you were doing. I really appreciate that. You know, for me, I like to, I love music, and I like a really music, singing straight from the heart. When it's a professional hotshot that maybe can sing better than you, like Barbara Streisand sings "Silent Night," you know, it doesn't do anything for me. You know, Dean Martin, half drunk, sings "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." This doesn't do anything. Could y'all feel the spirit in that song?
Oh, yes. Every time. Yes.
I felt like some chains were falling off. So that's what I came here this morning for, because I feel like God just hit me on the head with this in Mark chapter 5, if you wanted to look. I want to just read a little bit and then talk about it a little bit. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read to a certain point to make a point. In Mark chapter 5, "He came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat," Mark's favorite word, have a good time in the Bible going through the whole book of Mark and underlining the word "immediately." "When he came out of the boat, immediately a man came out of the tombs with an unclean spirit, and he met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And constantly, day and night, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gashing himself with stones, And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." Now, usually when you're sharing a message from Scripture, you want to save the punchline for the end of the message, but I want to give you the punchline ahead of time. I feel like a ton of bricks fell on me when I read this week, that God said, "That is you right there in that graveyard, Jimmy." And I got planned on preaching on something else. That happens sometimes. You read the book of Jude, Jude says, "I was going to write about this, but then all of a sudden the Lord told me to write about this." And hit me like a ton of bricks. So I'm going to give you the punchline. I would now like to read some more of this, and you ask yourself if it could be you in that graveyard. With those chains, with everybody afraid of you, and with you saying, "What have I got to do with you, Jesus? Please don't torture me." Can we read some more? And we'll read it with that in mind. In the original language, Jesus had continuously been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him continually, "What is your name? What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion," which a Roman legion is 1,000. "We are many." Again, he entreated him not to send them out of the country. There was a big herd of swine, pigs, feeding on the mountain, and they entreated him, saying, "Send us into the swine so we can enter them." I wonder why that's so important. He gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them. It's enough for about 2 demons apiece. There were drowned in the sea. Those who tended them ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened, and they came to Jesus, and they observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. And those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to entreat him to depart out of the region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was entreating him continually that he might accompany him. "Jesus, let me go with you." But he didn't let him. But he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went off and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed or marveled. It is amazing when you can just get yourself a Bible dictionary and just look up a few words. If you want to study the Bible, like for your get through the Bible in a year, please don't rush it, because the Bible is made out of words. So I think it's a good idea to take a look at each word. And it seems like every time I do that, the Lord just knocks me over the head with something. Take a look at this. There's a man in verse 2 who had been living among the demonics. And no one had been able to find him anymore because he was constantly day and night among the mnemonics in the mountains and crying out in the ashes. You know what a mnemonic is? I'm sure you do, because some of you have done something with music, because we all know that every good boy does fine, and all good boys deserve fudge, and all cows eat grass. That's a mnemonic. Any little trick can help you remember something. So this isn't the word graveyard or tomb like we say in English. It's the word mnemonic. He was dwelling among the memory places. You might say that had all these tombstones and memorials. So does that make sense for you? But what a picture. And we actually see yourself in this. The title in the bulletin was "Seeing Yourself in the Bible." If you just picture me and you just walking among these tombstones. I remember when that happened. Why did that have to happen? I wish that wouldn't have happened. And just on and on and on. "Lord, you know, I believe in the blood of Jesus. I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. You died on the cross." But why did this have to happen? And constantly crying out and cutting himself down. I'm good for nothing. Okay, so I'm an idiot. So what? So, criticizing himself, cutting himself. These girls who cut themselves now, I've worked with a lot of them, and they hate themselves. I would say the guy hated himself. Do you think I'm stretching the bottle there? I think he had self-hatred. I also think as he's crying out that he was extremely depressed. I think he was like, you know, what's the use? I mean, what is the use? Let's get honest here. What's the use? I mean, it's already chopped liver. I mean, how would you like, you don't have a friend in the world and nobody wants you in town. They don't want you around here. Why don't you just go hang out in the memory places, man? Just get lost, will you? Can you take a hint? Get out of here. And don't be coming back in the village. You must have tried. I mean, I don't think I'm reading too much in the Bible. You must have tried. We'll chain you in there, sucker. I mean, when we say stay out of here, we mean it. Now you're out of here. Period. End of conversation, and don't come back. I think I'm talking to some people right now who've been there. And I think that there's a lot of us that have had these chains on us. I thought of bringing some chains. I got a big old chain as big as my arm for our gate because we've got these big cows as big as a small compact car that will come right through the fence. So we got some big old chains. And then I thought we could have a dog chain. Or how about one of these little chains around your neck? I thought of bringing some of those today. I wanted to try to outdo Captain Walker when he brought those swords here, almost cut his arm off. But I guess the car thing got me kind of discombobulated this morning. Where when my car is not running, I'm not Jimmy Jean anymore. Like, you know, I'm not a man anymore. And I've been working on cars since I was a little kid. And now I can't even work on a stupid thing because it's all computerized. So I'm not really feeling like myself this morning, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to deliver the mail. So what's it going to be? Is it a great big fat chain that everybody can see? I'm hoping we're going to get real honest with each other, because we are friends, right? Is it like a dog chain? Been treated like a dog? Or is one of them little chains that, you know, you learn to live with a bunch of hogwash for a while. You can even take it as a decoration. Yeah, it's my thing now. I carry my cross. I like to talk about that some more. Jesus Christ carried the cross, not us. So we don't have any little memorials of, you know, yes, I'm suffering. We don't need none of these chains, do we? Not even the little itty bitty ones. So I would like to just go through the graveyard with this guy now and just kind of take a look at how similar is his life to ours. Could you hang with me on that? I'm not trying to get too personal or I'm calling you out here, but could you just hang with me on that and just ask the Lord, wait a minute. I mean, everybody knows Jimmy's a little off, you know, but, you know, maybe he has a point. Could you hang with me that far? Maybe. I didn't know I had that chain on there all this time. Could that be? Is there a possibility? If there's a possibility, then it's worth getting rid of it, right? And that goes for every last one of us in this room. Okay? So there's no hot shots in the Christian life, and there's no little bozos down here, little peasants who just barely get to go to heaven. As far as God's concerned, we're all the same. So some of us got some bigger chains to get rid of than others, right? Well, let's take a look at it. Can you look at it again? So we already agreed he's living in the memory places. Just walking around and around in circles in those memories. Not a real good place to be. Okay? Did you know you don't get into shape like this just by something fell out of the sky on your head? There has to be something that set this up. Because I guess you know that the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. So he cannot touch us. Okay? So it's not going to be Satan who destroys the church. Even whatever the government does to America or to Christians, that's not going to be Satan that's going to be gaining to us. We really need to get this clear. Satan cannot touch God's church. Okay. I believe my Jesus, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail against him. So how are there going to be problems with Christians? If the devil can't touch us, then who can? How about us?
Yep.
We're the only ones who can mess this place up.
Yes.
The devil even allowed on the property.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
So that means it starts to become pretty real. That we really got to make sure we got rid of every last chain. So he had at some point given some little territory to the devil. You want to know something? I hope you believe this because I think it's true. If I took a toothpick right now and dedicated it to Satan and say some little prayer to Satan or whatever and put it right here, you know Satan would make a big issue out of that? Do you believe in that kind of stuff? I do. Did you know that in the 60s there were witches who would come lay hands on the gold masters for some of the music that went out and ask the demons to bless this or whatever they do to whoever listens to this on the radio? There's all kinds of things we don't want to go into that people do with that. But believe me, if even a toothpick is given to Satan, he will do like in the book of Job and stand in front of God's throne. Smart aleck, hot shot. I have a perfect right to this because so-and-so gave me this toothpick. And not even you can stop it. Because you're the one that made the rules. So he's a hot shot, smart aleck. And he has no respect for God. So don't you know that if there was a toothpick dedicated to Satan and it was in this building, he's going to come claim it. You know, there's been people that work with demons who have said, you must come out in the name of Jesus. And they've said, not as long as he's got those magazines under his mattress, I don't have to come out of nothing.
Well,
you know? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you know that Satan cannot touch you? But you can invite him. So let's go ahead and let's get off the pornography or whatever. What else little areas might give a toehold? I've said before here, there's no such thing as Christian grouches. You know? Hey, I'm a big shot Christian. Don't mess with me. I don't take anything off anybody. Glad to meet you. If I need anything out of you, I'll slap it out of you. There's no such thing as a Christian like that. There's no Christian spirit there. So, anger, right? Do you think this guy had anger? I think he had a lot of anger. If you can't even put a chain on him and he's got like Rambo or something, you can bust some chains off him. I guarantee you there is nothing in that except anger. So now all of a sudden, we're bringing it right down where we live, right? Because I am one of the nicest guys you ever meet. But if my car doesn't work, or you kick my dog, or you know, just catch me at just the right time, I might really show you who I am. The real Jimmy. Hey, back off. You know, whatever kind of smart aleck thing I might say to you. And I have this little feeling that I'm not alone in this room. We just pushed the right button on any of us, right?
That's right.
So this guy had a big fat chain of anger. All right. Another thing I'll tell you, which I think is prevalent. I used to be a girl watcher. I've told you before that I'd give my right arm to have a girlfriend when I was in high school. So since I couldn't get one, I'd just check them all out, you know. Boy, you know, if there would be any possible way to get to meet her, you know, or get to know her. And did you know God did not call us to be girl watchers or guy watchers? It's called us. I've heard Pastor Walker say before, you know, you got to acknowledge the fact that somebody just walked through the room, but don't look too long. I've heard him say that before. So we're all, you know, Bible says if it's in your heart, it's the same thing as adultery. And if there's hatred, it's the same thing as murder. And these are God's laws, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So we're all under the condemnation of God's law, right? And then you got the Apostle Paul says, I do a lot of things that I really wish I didn't do. I know a couple instances in the Bible where he really let his temper go. He told off Peter in front of everybody in the book of Galatians. And then he had a big argument with Barnabas over whether Mark was any good or not. So I know of two times that he really let his temper go. And that's the even after he was saved. So even the Apostle Paul. So I guess we could fess up. Right? And it's not pleasing to God. In fact, it says anger rests in the bosom of a fool. So we're planning to have a revival in the spring. And we keep trying to move it up a notch. That what I'm hoping is that there's going to be some people walk in this building in the spring, and they're going to see revival in us first, and then they're going to want that. And that's where it starts. I'm going to get rid of every chain. I don't need that chain. That chain's kind of pretty. I don't need it, no matter how pretty it is. And so I know he had anger. He may have had lust. I don't know what he had. He dedicated a toothpick or something to Satan, and it got worse and worse where they didn't want him in the village. And finally, they put chains on him and put him in the graveyard. And then he's just there, miserable, just walking among the memories. Okay, so we got the picture so far. But the interesting part is that when he sees Jesus, he runs and kneels down and worships him. Now, can you help me with that? What's up with that? You know what you could do? You could take a look in Matthew chapter 8, where Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell the same story. Take a look in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. And you might have noticed I haven't gone into any of the big debates that people do. This chapter, by the way, is very debated, whether it was Gadara or the Gerasenes or what little section of the Sea of Galilee was this. And we got a lot more important things to do than debate the geography of the Bible. So it was somewhere around the Sea of Galilee. I'm not going to worry too much about it. But let's take a look in Matthew 8:28. Let's see how Matthew said the same story. When he came to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two who were demon-possessed met. What did your Bible say? Two?
Yes.
Two men. Two possessed.
Did it say two men or two?
Two men.
In the original language, the word men is not there. So two came. Now, if you study, there's a lot of books about problems in the Bible. How do you explain this? Like, hey, what's this, what's going on here? Mark says one, Matthew says two. What they'll usually say in these books is that, well, this guy was the more prominent of the two. So we're only going to get to hear the story about the one who spoke up. But I'm just wanting to put a little seed in your mind here that all Matthew says is two came. Two what? Well, it's very interesting how that's the same word that James used when he said, don't be double-minded. So, I'm not going to start a new religion based on this one verse, but I would like to suggest that for sure, in any case, however we look at it, this guy was double-minded. Because if he's all full of anger, like Rambo, busting chains off and everything, what's he doing kneeling at the feet of Jesus and worshiping him? I'd like to suggest that he had two minds. And the good side of him wanted Jesus, and the other side didn't. So let's go back to Mark. Take a look at that. He comes down to worship him, but then the first thing he says is, what have I got to do with you? Don't torture me. So it's almost like good cop, bad cop. One minute he's feeling this way, and the next minute this way. And I'd like to suggest to you that the devil was putting some ideas in his mind. He was saying things he didn't really want to say. He wanted to worship Jesus. But when you have given a toothpick, and then next thing you know, it's your eyes, and your ears, and your mouth, and your wallet, and your time, pretty soon the devil starts pretty much running the show. And another dirty trick is, hey, you've gone this far with me, why turn back? And by the way, how would you like for people to find out about such and such? Because he's really good at blackmail, too. So pretty soon, he's doing the talking now. Lord Jesus, I worship, what'd you tell me to say? And don't torture us. Don't torture me. See what I'm trying to say? There's some double-minded something going on. So then he says, my name is Legion. I don't think there'd be any problem with a paraphrase translation of that I got thousands of problems. Thousands of problems. I mean, Jesus, let me just tell you, there's probably a lot of good people around here who need your help, but I'm too far gone. I mean, we're talking thousands of problems. It's not going to happen anytime soon. I know you got to get back on your little boat and go on your way, so just so you know, I'm shocked. It's already toast, okay? So, appreciate the thought, but my name is Legion. So, what do you think about that? What do you have to do with me? You think Satan could ever put that thought in your mind? I've had people say to me, so Jesus has nothing to do with this situation. In my life, if I don't have him something to do with every situation that I'm in, man, I'm hopeless. So for me, there's never going to be such a thing as, oh, well, in this situation, we don't need Jesus in this. Because this has something to do with taxes or cars or whatever. He better be in every situation. So that's kind of interesting to me. Jesus, what have I got to do with you? What have you got to do with it? Okay? Let's not get started with me here. What do you got to do with this? Just back off. There's people who talk to God that way. There's people who are angry at God and have had to ask God's forgiveness for being angry at him. There's people who are angry at themselves who've had to forgive themselves. Hey, I am, if you look in your dictionary next to loser and total idiot, you're going to find in parentheses my name there as an alternate definition. Okay? So, there's nothing that anybody here can tell me. And I've done a lot of stupid things. So, why don't we all just cozy up together here and say, hey, there is nothing that is not going to involve Jesus in my life. That I am not too far gone. I'm not going to talk to Jesus the way this guy did. Are you with me? Okay? So, no matter what it is, and I know if we got talking here, and we felt free enough to tell each other, yeah, well, Jimmy, how would you like to hear about this? You know, well, I can top that. We don't really need to go into all that. But you know something? There are a lot of people with me in this room who feel like, boy, if everybody else in this room knew, Rocky did me. That's a lie from Satan. That is an actual demon telling that to you. Can I tell you, as my friend, I'm not lying to you, and he is. And you got some people here who come around you, and I don't care what it is. We're going to get through this thing together. We're going to revive it. Can you think of anything they could say that we wouldn't support them? Nothing. There's nothing you can tell us that wouldn't just make us love you more. As a little kid watching my dad drink all the time, I used to think, you know, what's up with that? Just how could he do this? As I got older, I realized he can't stop. He couldn't stop if he wanted to. I remember when he dropped a bottle of wine on the floor and got down and licked it up with the glass cutting his tongue. I mean, you got to say, somebody, there's no way a natural human being would do this. It wasn't him doing it. It was some other mind. You understand? And there is got to be a way for you to look at this that some of these things, like the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Okay? So while you're hurting this morning, and we all faked it pretty good through Christmas, we did pretty good. We smiled, we told some people Merry Christmas. But we know when we look in the mirror that there's some chains there. And we want to get rid of the chains. And there's not a single one of them that Jesus isn't going to take off of you. All you got to do is let him. I know it sounds easy to say it, right? But I personally think part of it is knowing that we're with him. It means a lot to me to know that no matter what I go through, you guys are with me. It means a whole lot to me. And I think that's part of it. If the devil can isolate you,
that's right.
He always picks off the sheep. You ever? I've seen sometimes on public television, these lions will get the antelopes or gazelles. They always get the weakest one and get him cut out of the herd while the rest of the guys take off. And then now they've got him and they get him surrounded to him and whatever they, you know, get in a circle. Now they got you. And notice this, what we're reading here. He's in the tombs, right? In the memory places. Well, where is he? He's isolated. So I would like to say one thing to this church that I hope you write down somewhere. Do not let yourself become isolated from this church. Because that's the first step of a demon. It's okay, something happened now. This is really stupid. I can't believe this happened, but I'm going to tell Pastor Walker. I'm not going back to that church. And Pastor Walker, we've had some that aren't here. I've been coming here off and on for about 7 years. I remember when Reno was the song director. Michigan. And I have seen him come and go. And you and me know what it is, right? He picked him out of the herd, didn't he? And he told him, don't go back there, man. It's going to be embarrassing. I mean, maybe you've done something really stupid. Maybe, you know, some felony, some drug, some really stupid, immoral thing. The first thing we got to know is blackmail is not going to work around here. And we are, I'm determined that if I have to wear a bag over my head, I'm going to come back here every Sunday. I don't care what has happened. We're going to stick together, right? We're not going to let the devil isolate us, because that is the first red flag that it is a demon. An actual demon, demon, demon. I know we usually keep that word for the Pentecostals, that they're so involved in demons, but, you know, just about any of these religious groups you can pick, maybe the Amish are supposed to teach us to not depend so much on electricity. Maybe the Pentecostals are supposed to teach us, maybe there are some demons around here. You know, we don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it either. But that is a red flag when you want to be isolated. So would you write that down somewhere, that when the devil just tells you, you know, no use going back to Gregory. I mean, they know about you, babe. They know. They got your number. Right then, you need to tell yourself, bingo! I heard that one before. And I'll just tell you, the stubborn kind of guy I am. You know what? I would just do the opposite just to spit in the devil's eye. I mean, if that gives you that much joy, you know, it won't hurt me any to be humble. Go out and do something stupid and come back to victory, and everybody say, oh, yeah, it hurt. Okay. Sorry to hear that. Hey, it won't hurt me any. I'm not a baby. So I'm in this for the long haul. For you. Praise the Lord. It's almost like African church where they actually say amen once in a while, things like that.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. The other question is, and I heard this from a brother the other day. Did you notice that right there in verse 7, Mark 5, verse 7? Why are you coming to torture me? Now that's a dirty lie. Listen, I have studied this Bible for many years, and I have never seen anything in here where God tortures people. That's a pretty filthy lie. I heard a brother, in maybe a few weeks ago now, said, I'm trying to do my best, I do all this for other people, I'm trying to, you know, live for the Lord, and why does he torture me like this? Now, you know where that thought came from. And that ought to be another bingo moment, like, hey, that's a lie. So if you don't know all the answers, at least you know this, that that's a lie. Maybe you don't know the rest of the answer, but you know, I don't know all the answers, okay? But I do know this, that God doesn't torture people. So I'm not going to listen to that. So if you can train your brain to say, I don't listen to torture. All right? So the Bible says that truth is confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So am I making this up? No. What's Romans chapter 8, verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation. All right, my sister with the surgery. God has not given us a spirit but of power, love, and sound mind. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, hey, where did that thought come from? Because what, you know what I really love? I think when I first became a Christian, I forget whether it was in a hotel or something, that you can get these Bibles that the Gideons put there. Man, I never saw anything. I was a brand new Christian. Lonely? Read this verse. Need friends? Read this verse. You broke? Read this verse. You're afraid? Read this verse. And I thought, well, this is kind of cool. You know, I didn't know all that was in the Bible. And I guess it stuck with me for 40 years now. So over here we got a column. Something terrible's going to happen. Them doctors are going to make a mistake tomorrow. Then, sorry. I think Bill Cosby said that's the thing you don't want to hear when you go to the doctor. Oops. You know? They might make a mistake. Might be the wrong doctor. Who knows? Anything could happen. So that's over here in this column. So we already said what we got in this column is God has not given us a spirit of fear. So that kind of wipes that column out. So that's the only way I can live my life. I don't know how anybody else lives, but I have come down to the very nitty-gritty where I ain't got nothing left of this book. Right? And I think that's what God wants to give all of us. And you go ahead and you write it down in this column. Hey, you're chopped liver. Everybody already knows it. You're a loser. And not only that, you've let the Lord down. One of my favorites in this column is 1 Timothy 1:17, that if we are faithless, he remains faithful. So even if I am faithless, hey, you know what? I'm just a piece of dust that was made into the shape of a human being. All I am is dust anyway. So, you know, I'll tell you what, though. I only have one thing left, is I will not give the devil the pleasure of torturing me. Because there is no condemnation in Christ.
Amen.
And he is the accuser of the brethren. It says in Revelation that he stands before God's throne. Get this. Day and night and day and night and night and day. Saying, Ron is worthless so-and-so. Larry is good for nothing. Stanley is a hopeless loser. All day long, it says it in the Bible. The accuser. You know what? I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. Go ahead and do and say whatever he wants to. It's kind of like, you know, when little kids are harassing each other in the playground, and you say, sticks and stones, break my bones, and make another room. Well, he can say anything he wants to. I'm not listening. Sorry. You know what? You can go ahead and knock on the door, but I'm going to send Jesus to answer the door. Jesus, would you answer that, please? I've had it with this. Because the Christian life cannot be lived miserable. I said there's no such thing as hot shot angry Christian. There's also no such thing as miserable, down and out, you know, boring life I live. Just barely hanging on to it, just scrape my way into heaven. There's no such of a thing. There is no condemnation. So I believe this guy was very, very condemned. Now, as far as, okay, Jesus is telling the demons to come out. He's telling the chains to come off you. The first thing he says is, but can we go into the pigs? Now, what is all that about? I told you about the toothpick, right? You need to know this. This is another very important thing in the Christian life. If you give a toothpick to Satan, he says, that is my toothpick, and he's just cheap enough to make a big stinking issue out of it for the rest of your life. Really. Really, really, really. I'm just telling you a fairy tale. So what do you think when you got a bunch of Jewish people with pigs? They ain't supposed to be eating pigs. And they've got all this territory with thousands of pigs. Well, the demons are saying, well, if I have to leave, can I just please keep my territory? At least, because this whole area around the area here, you know, it's been kind of dedicated to me. So I'll leave this one guy. I'm good with that, because you're Jesus, and you can tell me. But, would there be any way we could keep this territory? So that's called having your cake and eating it too, right? You know, the reason, like, when Ron introduced me last time I preached, the reason I tell you the story about myself is because I'm hoping to get you to loosen up and we're in this thing together kind of thing, okay? That's why I tell you. So I can tell you, there's certain people rub me the wrong way. Like I said, there's certain things that can push my butt. Whatever it takes to get you to identify with me. But you see, that is territory. So you've all got your own little territory that you've said, you know. Now, Satan, you cannot have none of this here. Well, what about this little thing over here? How you always have this attitude. Well, you know, actually God understands I'm nobody's fool. You know what I mean? I know an idiot when I see one. You know, and I mean, you know, what do you think? You're going to play me for a fool? You know. Yeah, I'll keep that attitude against that brother or sister. I can do that. I'll tell you what, Satan. I told you, you cannot have none of this. I'll deal with that later. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. Now he's got a little toe. You heard the story of the camel wanted to get in the tent, right? And it said, kept saying no, so he put his nose in. Because my nose is cold. And this is just how Satan does you. And then he said, no, my ears are cold. And you know, it goes on until finally he kicked the guy out of the tent. You know? So all it takes is one little snotty attitude. I've been there and done that. So if we're going to have a revival, we've got to get it all out of here. Out of us, out of this building. And then we can have a real revival. You know how revivals go? I don't know if you've ever been in one. You know, Pastor Walker, I've been real proud of my sermons. What a great speaker I am. And all this stuff I'm doing, all these refugees, you know. I mean, I am the man, you know. And I'd like to ask you to forgive me for my attitudes. And he might say, you know, and maybe I'll forgive you for running up the bill last time you took me out to eat. Whatever. We start confessing things. And that's how, go ahead and get a book on it and study revivals. As people begin to open up and just say, you know, hey, brother, you know, do you need anything? I understand there's some people here that are out of job, and, you know, is there anything I can do, or would you forgive me for this attitude or that? And I've got something nobody knows about. I'd rather really not say what it is, but would y'all forgive me and pray for me? I'd get rid of it. That's revival. Now, I kind of lost all the amens. But it is. That's revival. And that's what I'm praying we're going to have. I'm glad that it's in spring because we build up to it and start getting ready, get our garments washed. You with me on that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, I could go preach to a lot of churches where they, like Episcopalians, or just sit there, you know. So that's why I come here, because every once in a while somebody says, amen! It won't hurt you. So, let me see. I was going to ask you, if the shoe fits, wear it here. I would like to suggest that there's some things this guy needed to know that he didn't know. It hit me like a ton of bricks. So, I recently found my mother in the Lord. She's been in a nursing home, and her kids have had her in different homes, and she finally felt like they're not living for the Lord, so she got on her own. And got herself an apartment and called me first thing. I haven't been able to get in touch with her for a couple years. And I told you about my father in the Lord that was in Africa for 30 years. He used to take me just verse by verse through the Bible. It's at 4 o'clock in the morning. He teaches me the Bible. So he's gone on to be with the Lord, but his wife Sarah called me and she said, you know something, Jimmy? A lot of things that have happened to me that I was proud that I was suffering for Jesus, and this person did this thing to me, but I forgave them. After all, I've been a missionary 30 years, been through hell with Archie over in Africa, and, you know, the Lord just showed me, I got to watch my attitude. That's called being a sin bearer. A sin bearer. Like I said, Jesus carries the cross, not us. So when we go around saying, you know, brother so-and-so did that to me, but that's okay. I forgive him. You can see a little halo. You know, and you can go ahead and treat me that way, but I'm just not going to say anything. That's called being a sin bearer. So what I think is nobody ever taught this guy that we are not the sin bearers. He probably resented these people putting him out in the graveyard. And, you know, I noticed that he's broke all these chains, but he's not in town. I get the feeling he had been going to town a lot, and they got him with the chains and drug him back. And he finally said, you know, forget it. I'll just stay out here. So he kind of gave up on the little thing of going out scaring people. I think he had resentment against them. And I think there's a little bit of that why he wanted to go with Jesus. Can I go with you? And Jesus said, no, you stay with them. Which, if you'll check later, I think it's Mark chapter 7, you'll find out that Jesus came back to this area and was able to do a lot of things that he couldn't do on this trip because that guy went back and actually did share the gospel, what God had done for him. So Lord used him that way. But I think he really didn't want to be around those people. He wanted to go with Jesus. I wouldn't mind. I don't blame him. But isn't it funny how he had this resentment toward people? And they resented him, and it just goes round and round in a circle. So he was bearing their sins. And when he was walking around those memory places, why'd they do that to me? You know, nobody will even listen to me. You know, hey, you know, I might have all these demons and all these problems, but, you know, they're not perfect either. Look what they do. You call that, you know, boy, this is some kind of world, isn't it? So he had to find out, we don't bear the sins of the world. Jesus bears the sins of the world. Recently somebody was telling me, if we don't do this and this and this, then this person might never get saved. Excuse me a minute. Who's doing the saving? As if it depended on us to do the saving. You know? And it's the same thing with forgiving each other. Jesus is the one who does the forgiving. He's the one that bears the sins. So Sarah told me, finally they got to the point where Archie had done something mean to her. Because when he was on a roll, he could be like Pastor Walker. I'm on a roll. Don't stop me now. I remember she was arguing with him that we're here in the mission field all these years and it's raining out. And we need to go out and share the gospel in some of these villages. And he said, and the mud is up to the axles on the Jeep. So all we're going to do is spend the whole day out there pulling the Jeep out of the mud. And she said, well, I think we still need to go. And I forget, she quoted some verse at him that somebody who's not willing to go or something, he quoted something back. And so they went around and around, so they finally went out in the mud and got the Jeep stuck. But so even missionaries disagree sometimes, you know. And so the next day, he asked her to forgive him for his attitude. And she was just sitting there at the table. And she was like, I'm not worried about it. Well, what do you mean? You know, usually you're getting all ticked off. I thought we were ready for round two today. She said, no. He said, wow, well, that's great. She said, no, you didn't do nothing to me. I guess, you know, you could look at it. He did that to Jesus, not me. Because I'm not a sin bearer. I don't carry the sins of the world around on my shoulders. Now, can we check that out and see if that's in the Bible? Do you remember, I looked it up here, Matthew 25:40. If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. Wait a minute, I don't want to stretch this too much, okay? You got to be real careful, especially when you got some DTS people in the room. Do not stretch the Bible. How about Acts 9:5? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I never saw you before. Lord, who art thou? You know? If you did it to them, you did it to me. Would you write this one down? Because I'm trying to give you some secrets. I've been through hell for 40 years to learn these things. I'm not up here talking to you to inflate my ego. I have been through hell. And I'm trying to give you some of the secrets of the Christian life. Because let me tell you something. There's been two or three times here I've seen people here stoned, drunk, head down on the pulpit in front, or the pew in front of them. I don't know why some people come here on Sunday morning. But I'm not coming up here just to hear myself talk. Okay? So I want to give you something, if you'll receive it, that you are not the one who bears the sins of the world. And that means, if you'll hang with me now, you said you would, that means when they do these things to you, who are they really doing them to? Could you get that? Now, I don't want to just talk. You know, we can go to a big highfalutin church and just talk. I could read poetry. And there's a lot of good Christian jokes in the Christian joke books at the Christian bookstore. But this is serious. I hope you get it. Lord Jesus, please. When they do it to you, they're not doing it to you, they're doing it to Jesus. Do you think that would help this guy out a little? Do you think it would help you out a little? Because they're going to do it to you tomorrow morning at work. All right? We might as well get real. They're going to do it to you sometime this week. But they're really not doing it to you, are they? They're doing it to Jesus. Could you get that? Could you ask God right now? Ask him, Lord, help me really get that. I want to keep that. My father, Archie, used to say, I'm going to give you a scripture. Like, he was giving me a sack of gold. Like, Jimmy, I'm going to give you a scripture. Wow, it's a chance of a lifetime. And you felt like, wow, really? And you look it up like, all for me? I love the way he loves the scripture. So I'm going to give you that scripture. If they do it to the least of these, they've done it unto me. Those guys didn't really beat you up, Solomon. They beat Jesus up. Listen, when I'm walking in Rocky Point in Jamaica, it's totally dedicated to voodoo. The Haitians come over and bring the voodoo. They actually take the bodies out of the grave, dance around with them. And when you're walking through it, it was like, there's not too many places I've been like this, where you just feel like in the air, it's tingling, like the hair in the back of your neck is demon stuff going on. And when I walk through that crowd with my tracks, my Bible, did you know it's like a wave? They just part away from me. It's amazing. They can see the Spirit of Christ in me only because of who Jesus is, not because of who I am. Nothing to do with me. I remember this one Rastafarian walking up. I was kind of worried about my family. It was pitch dark. I asked the guy, could we please not go to Rocky Point, of all places, in the dark? He said, hey, no problem, Mom. Everything in Jamaica is no problem, Mom. So we're in there in the pitch dark, just like I asked not. So Lord's working on my attitudes, but I couldn't find my kids. This is a demonic place. Where Narda gave some tracks to a couple of prostitutes, they threw them on the ground and spit at them. I'm thinking, where's my daughters? I want to go back on the bus, okay? Now, this is enough. We gave some tracks, we did the God thing, we're out of here, man. Next thing I know, in the dark over here, I hear my Anna is saying, that is a bunch of hogwash. There couldn't be a building without a builder. There couldn't be a mountain without a creator. You are full of baloney. You want to read the Bible or not? I don't have time for this. There's Anna. So I go through the dark. This guy steps out of the dark. Big tall guy says, respect. We respect you. I said, what you really respect is Jesus Christ in me. And it's like some kind of force field just backed away from me. So I'm telling you, Solomon, I'm not making this stuff up. When I can go through Canterbury, you've been to Canterbury, right? And I'm bringing some medicine to a little girl, and all the guys pick up rocks to throw at us. And all I said was, do you know where such and such street is? I didn't even say anything about Jesus. What's up with that? It's the Spirit of Christ in us. Okay, I thought of doing this, having to do like a Bible drill today. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians, we are crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ in me. And the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if we could ever get a hold of this, that we actually received Christ, and he actually lives inside of us, down in here somewhere, he's in there. And so when they're doing it to this body, they're doing it to him. And the people who live over in third world countries, they know this. There is no possible, you don't even know me, why are you doing this to me? I don't even know. Some people have talked to him while they're torturing him. And ask them, why are you doing this? I don't know. They don't know what they're doing. In fact, didn't Jesus say that on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. But they're still doing it. So I guess it's really up to us how you're going to handle it. Are they doing it to you? No. I'll try it again. Are they doing it to you?
No.
They're doing it to Jesus. And you can save yourself a whole lot of trips to the graveyard, a whole lot of chains, if you got a hold of that. It says in Scripture, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. So if some of you guys would just come here to visit on Sunday, and I don't know what you come here for, but I'm glad you come. Would you hear this? Today if you will hear my voice, do not harden your heart. David said in the Psalms, who can understand his secret sins, his hidden sins? Lord, I've got things I don't even know from my culture. I can go in a grocery store and hear the Beatles on the loudspeaker and be like I'm back in the 60s or thinking all these thoughts of things I did. It's like a time machine. We've probably got a bunch of stuff in us if we tried, like Pastor Walker told me, that Martin Luther tried to write down every sin he could think of, we could never have enough paper. We could never remember it all. But today, if you will hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Ask God, would you take away those things I don't even know about? There could be chains. I've been cut so many places. Who knows? Like when I'm in Jamaica, I tell them, how many of you know whether your great-grandfather was practicing Obeah, which is their version of voodoo? You don't know. You don't even know if you were dedicated to Satan as a baby. You don't even know if there was a seance held or some kind of magic charm or whatever. And we don't know either, do we? What in our great-great-grandfather could have been? I've been born in a toothpick. You know? And so there could be some things that we don't even know about. We want a revival or not? Yes, we do. Amen. Brother Jimmy. Amen. And so, Lord, we're going to pray now. Show us anything that we don't even know is there. The problem is, in Psalm chapter 50, God says, you thought that I was like you. You thought that I think the way you think. And you Jews thought that if you killed a cow for me, then that would make me happy. Except, you know what? I own cattle on 1,000 hills. If I need a cow, I just go get one. I don't need you to kill me no cow. You thought I was just like you are. But you know what? I want to raise us all up today to a higher plane. He's not like we are. He thinks on a higher level than we do, doesn't he? And so it won't hurt any for us to forgive them guys that beat you up. Right, Solomon?
Yes, sir.
You've forgiven them. Okay, and we could go on. Solomon loves me, so he'll put up with me. I could go on and call out names and say, we're getting rid of them chains today, right? So I'm going to ask Pastor Walker to come and pray. I want to ask you to do one more thing, if you would. You've been very patient with me. I'd like to ask you to take a fist and put it out here like this. Start squeezing it tighter and tighter and tighter. Go on, tighter. Let it go. We can let it all go. And that chains just fly off. I love it.
Amen.